Thank God I am free, free, free from this world of sin. Washed in the blood of Jesus, I've been born again. Hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, saved by His wonderful grace. I'm so glad that I found out He would bring me out and show me the way.
And thank you so much for joining us for Freedom's Call this morning. This is Pat Githens. The last time you and I visited on the Freedom's Call, I told you that I was going to start a series of messages concerning the seven churches of Asia, and indeed we did the church at Ephesus, and today we're going to look at the church at Smyrna. So if you'd find your place in the Word of God in the book of Revelation chapter 2, I'll be there in just a moment. And for those of you that may be needing a Bible, I want to inform you that Freedom's Call would certainly give you a Bible absolutely free. All you have to do is write to us and telling us your need. And our post office box is 1246 La Mesa, Texas, 79331. It's our intention not only to preach the Word of God to those that tune in, but we also want to provide you with the Word of God if you do not have a Bible. And I believe that every born-again believer ought to have his own Bible or her own Bible. And if you've recently got saved and do not have a Bible, or if you're just wanting a Bible and you would read that Bible, you just contact us and let us know, and we'll send you a Bible absolutely free. And for those of you that may want it in Spanish, we can get you that Bible in Spanish as well. All right, this morning, we're going to be looking at the church at Smyrna. Now, that's found in the book of Revelation, chapter 2, and we'll pick up reading here in verse 8. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, These things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works in tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich, and I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. As I said when we looked at the church at Ephesus, that every church that has existed and is existing throughout this church age can be identified by one or more of these seven churches. The characteristics of any existing local church today can be identified by the characteristics of one or more of those seven churches. So, having said that, I doubt if there's any church today in America that can identify with the characteristics of this church at Smyrna. Are there poor churches today? Yes. Are they being heavily persecuted? I doubt it. They may be talked about, but they're not being threatened physically. People normally are not going to prison for being the pastors of those churches unless they're crooked in some other areas of life. Or in this day and age, we do know of pastors that commit some gross sins, child molestation and various things. But churches that are serving the Lord Jesus Christ and the pastors are upright, we see some verbal attacks against them, and sometimes even there's some threats made against these churches, but they do not suffer the persecution that these first century churches were facing for these churches in America. Now, there are churches in other places in the world that can identify with this church. There are churches suffering similar persecution in parts of Africa, Egypt, Indonesia, India, Pakistan, Nigeria, Iran, Vietnam, Iraq, China, and previously in the Soviet Union and perhaps some places in modern-day Russia, and also most Muslim countries. Now, many Christian families are being attacked, some killed, simply because they are Christians. And some Christian churches have been attacked as well in those nations. And while such physical attacks are not occurring in America, open hostility by radical liberals and atheists are becoming more intense, and sooner or later such hatred against Christianity will become physical in this country. Now, despite the fact that most first century churches suffered great persecution and tribulation, those churches, for the most part, seem to become stronger spiritually. And this is a pattern that's been noticed throughout the church age. It is in time of prosperity that churches seem to backslide and lose much of their power. Israel certainly couldn't stand prosperity, and it seems like the churches in America cannot stand prosperity, for they certainly do not seem to be as powerful, for the most part, as they were, say, 50 years ago, 40 years ago. Prosperity has not helped these churches. Now, we're going to continue looking here for a few moments at this persecution. And it's interesting to note that the name Smyrna suggests the crushing hand of persecution. This Greek word was translated from a Hebrew word for myrrh. Now, we know that myrrh was produced by the crushing of a fragrant plant, which was used as a sweet-smelling perfume for the living and the dead. And as this church at Smyrna was being crushed by heavy persecution, a sweet-smelling fragrance of faithfulness, even unto death, drifted up to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then when we look at the city of Smyrna, we find that it had a history of hardships. It had been destroyed and laid in ruins for more than 300 years before being rebuilt in 290 B.C. After that, it became a strong, supportive city for the Romans, and a temple was built to honor Roman emperors. And therefore, emperor worship was very prevalent in the city. And that was what was creating much of the problem for these believers in the Smyrna church, who refused to offer sacrifices unto the emperor. The city was also the victim of major earthquakes, but through the centuries, the city has survived and today is known as Izmir, Turkey. Now, Turkey is probably the most closed nation in the world, or one of them anyway, concerning Christianity. You can get arrested for witnessing to people in Turkey about Jesus Christ, or you can get arrested for passing out tracts in Turkey. And you'd be hard-pressed to find a church operating in the open in Turkey. At one time, maybe in Istanbul, but for the most part, this country is a very closed nation. Well, as I mentioned before, the believers in the church at Smyrna was refusing to worship the emperor. They refused to offer sacrifices to the emperor or burn incense to his image. And this caused the citizens of the city to respond with heavy persecution. And even the Jews in the city heavily persecuted the Christian believers, accusing them of blasphemy, and they spread lies about them to the Roman authorities. And Jesus makes reference to these Jews in his letter to the church. Now, in John 15:20, Jesus said, "If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you." So he knew all about their persecution and their poverty. And the persecution and the tribulation suffered by these saints in Smyrna was simply due to their faithfulness in Jesus Christ. And so instead of drawing back from Christ to ease the persecution coming against them, they planted their feet, so to speak, and took a bold stand for Jesus Christ and had a bold witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And their faithfulness even led unto death for some of these believers. And multitudes of Christian believers today in various parts of the world are suffering such persecution, even though we're not seeing that in America today. But the Bible says that in the last days, Christian believers throughout the world will be suffering great tribulation and persecution, and the Antichrist crowd will kill many simply because of their testimony for Jesus Christ. Well, when we look at this letter, we read the verses a few moments ago. Jesus identifies himself to the church as the first and the last who was dead and who is alive. Now, this is a messianic title which identifies Jesus Christ as the eternal God. In the beginning, he was the creator of all things. And in the end, he's still there creating the new heaven and the new earth, and he will dwell with his redeemed people for all eternity. He said he was dead, and who is alive? And that speaks of his humanity. That eternal God became flesh and dwelt among us, crucified on the cross at 33.5 years of age, placed in a borrowed tomb, and came forth alive forevermore on the morning of the third day. Now, this title also assures the believers in Smyrna that Christ, too, was persecuted even unto death. But he conquered death with his resurrection, and in Christ they, too, will conquer death. We will conquer death. All of us in Christ will be more than conquerors of death, and the grave certainly can't hold the bodies of those believers that are buried, for on the morning of the resurrection they will come forth and be changed into glorified bodies, and those that are living at the time of the resurrection will be changed and caught up with them to meet Jesus in the air. Then he said, I'm aware of your works. And Jesus knew where they were and what they were enduring. He knew about their poverty, but he assured them that they were rich. He knew about the blasphemy of those who claimed to be Jews but were not. And that simply means they were Jews by bloodline, but not of the spiritual seed of Abraham. Paul stated in the book of Romans that such Jews were not Jews. They are not all Israel, he said, which are of Israel. And they which are the children of the flesh are not the children of God. So what Jesus said was that these were the synagogue of Satan, were of the synagogue of Satan, that is, at therefore meaning that they were the children of Satan and not the children of God. Jesus gives them words of encouragement. Fear none of these things which you will suffer. He did not promise to prevent the persecution and the tribulation. He did not promise to do away with the suffering. He said more is coming for a limited time, but fear not. And we're reminded of his promise in the book of Matthew when he said, Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Then Jesus gives them a promise. Be faithful even unto death. You will be given a crown of life. That's the victor's crown, the crown of eternal life. Then Jesus gives a final charge to the church. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Take heed of God's word and be obedient to it. Be more than just hearers of the word, the Bible says. Be doers also. And he that overcometh shall not be hurt by the second death. Overcomers are those who are redeemed by Jesus Christ. They overcome Satan by the blood of the Lamb of God. The first death speaks of a physical death, where the body dies. The second death is a spiritual death, an eternal separation from God. And it's been said, born once, die twice. Born twice, die once. And there's no words of condemnation offered by Christ for this church. Despite their persecution and suffering and poverty, Jesus said, you are poor, but rich. Just the opposite of what he has to say to the church at Laodicea when we get there. He said, you're rich, but you're poor. So material wealth does not reflect spiritual success and power. Well, I see our time is up today, and so I want to certainly thank you for joining us for Freedom's Call. And remember, too, you can correspond with us by simply writing to us, Freedom's Call Ministries, Box 1246, La Mesa, Texas, 79331. Or you can email me at patgithens@yahoo.com, and that will get your email to me, patgithens@yahoo.com. Thank you for joining us.
Free from this world of sin. Washed in the